Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
It is Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified internist and addiction medicine specialist. Now, before we get into the guest and the topics and all that tonight, we'll just sort of play tonight by ear. I think that was the agreement. Yes, Drew?
Yes, sir.
If you want to call in, you have a question for our guest, Newfound Glory, that's fine. And if you have a piece of broccoli growing out of the end of your dork, that's fine. And if you have some feelings about the tragedies that have come upon us earlier in the week, we'll talk about that. So we'll just kind of do a grab bag and mix it up. We've been dedicating the last couple of nights to the recent tragedies, but I think we'll just do sort of a little fruit salad tonight. Whatever you want to talk about, that's what we'll get into. Newfound Glory is here. Ian, Cyrus, and Chad all here from the band.
Thank you.
Newfound, go out and buy that CD.
Yeah, you know, Adam, on the cover of that CD, there's about a 1972 Playboy. Does this evoke any visceral kinds of feelings? Or
look closely at that picture.
He can probably name the two on the cover, I bet you.
Oh. Ian stole that from his dad.
Yeah, I'd say, or is that 72? It almost looks like 69 or something
maybe,
like that.
Maybe.
I don't know, but we're doing a Hugh Hefner roast on Comedy Central in a few weeks that I got to go do, and I was just sitting around trying to write jokes about him. But one of the things I was thinking about, and see, Drew, you got me going on Playboy.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, you know, imagine Hugh Hefner when he was like 34 and he was married and he was living in Chicago and he wasn't doing anything with his life. And then he has this plan. It's like, I got this great idea. I'm gonna publish this magazine. I'm gonna dump my wife. I'm gonna go buy a castle on the West Coast. I'll have celebrities come by, and
hundreds of beautiful women.
Parents will send their young, beautiful women from around the country, their young daughters, their 18, 19-year-old daughters, for me to boink and photograph in the nude, and I will become a millionaire. I mean, just think about the Playboy empire. It's not like Hugh Hefner was born into it. He was some schmo, like, working at an advertising firm out of Chicago, had a wife and a little, you know, two-bedroom house.
You know, he raised money for it? He went around his neighborhood and sold shares.
Yeah.
In this non-existent company.
Yeah. Wow. He got like $5,000 together, yeah, and got a picture of Marilyn Monroe in her underpants, and the rest,
wow,
is history.
It's pretty funny because we all have dreams. Like, when we were little, our dream was, like, to be in a band and to go on tour. And his, yeah, dream is like, I'm going to go to California and get hundreds of women naked.
And it's not, and not only, I don't have to go out and recruit these women.
They'll come to me.
Yeah. They will take planes, buses, and trains to get here and line up for the opportunity for me to pork them and photograph them in the nude.
Wow.
You know, like, worst case scenario, you get a hand job and a nude poster. You know what I mean? Like, that's worst case scenario, right? And then you just sit around and look at pictures of nude women going, yeah, good,
maybe,
but not great.
Show,
yeah,
me more.
Yeah, like, the, spread a little cheek. Let's see. Maybe that'll get you in. All right, so anyway, thanks for bringing up Playboy. Newfound Glory was in here how long ago?
A few months. It was before the summer.
Maybe? Yeah, and have you been touring ever since?
Yeah.
Oh. But you guys are young. You got a lot of energy.
It's fun.
You're into it.
Mm-hmm.
And what about? Is everyone a little freaked out now?
Yeah.
With the travel.
Well, our whole schedule is pretty much, you know, we were always afraid of just flying and traveling, and now we're definitely afraid. And now we'll never fly again. We're trying to set up we're supposed to go to Europe, and that's gone. Everything. We're on tour with Blink, and the whole schedule's rerouted and completely different. And it's all really scary because we're all away from our family and,
right,
just. It's pretty creepy. I mean,
but did you get trapped out anywhere because of the schedule? Were you guys in a bus?
We were in a bus. We were driving, and we were in Arizona, and we woke up to the TV on our satellite in our bus, and we just woke up, and we're like, I mean, it's just a weird feeling, you know, waking up and seeing that on TV. And we actually played a show that night in Arizona and dedicated the whole set, and had all the fans still showed up. And for us, music is like our emotional outlet. And
right,
same thing with the kids that go to our shows. And I don't know, it's pretty wild, pretty crazy.
It was crazy because that morning, on the way to the show, the first thing we heard was that whole street was closed off because there was a federal building, mm-hmm, somewhere on that block.
In Arizona.
Yeah, and I guess they ended up opening up the street, but it was so weird that whole morning, like trying to call, you know, your parents are seeing the messages on your phone because they're on the East Coast and they heard about it first, and we have, you know, like nobody knew where anybody was.
And we have a lot of friends in New York City and stuff that we've been in contact with, and it's crazy tragedy. I mean, I have a friend, my friend Toby, who's in a band. He has a Twin Towers tattooed on his body. He lived in New York City all his life.
Oh my God!
And it's just, you know, it's crazy. You know, you don't really. We go on tour, you know, we tour New York City all the time. We're going to be playing there in November. And it's just, we're going to have our whole tour. We're set up with donations and everything because we're going to do our best to do all that we can, you know, to support everything going on.
I was thinking about this all day.
That's great, by the way.
Somebody needs to stand up, stand tall, and just keep going. You know what I mean? I want my leaders to do that. And somebody needs to do that for other people, young people. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys, if you just keep going and just keep, you know, even if the bullets are whizzing, you just stand up and do what you do to help you.
Bullets whizzing.
No, I don't mean literally. I mean figuratively. That things are the thing you feel like that's what's going on. You still stand tall and lead. Do your job.
Speaking of bullets whizzing, you guys ever been out in a big concert, festival, seating type thing and had someone throw one of those mini Jägermeister bottles?
I got hit
at you from about 70 rows back.
Well, our fans are
danger, Drew.
Our fans are usually...
That's ground zero on that stage.
Our fans are usually younger, so we don't get, like, Jägermeister bottles. They're, like, Coke and, you know, it's like Sprite bottles. I got hit in the head with a full Pepsi bottle at one show.
Oh, my God.
A lot of shoes.
It hurts.
Yeah.
A lot of shoes.
Listen, anything hurts from 70 rows back. The guy's all hopped up on X or amyl nitrate, and he chucks one of those things. He's probably the star of his high school baseball team.
It actually hurts worse when they throw stuff in. All the liquid spills out on stage, and then when you slip on it and fall, it actually hurts a little worse than getting hit with the bottle itself.
Well, Newfound Glory is the name of the CD. I got some dates here that I imagine are, you know, pretty close to sold out with Blink 182 coming up Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. But
they've been changed.
So these are the new dates.
Yeah.
All right. But if they were sold out before, wouldn't the people who had the tickets from the previous show just be able to cash them in at this one?
Yeah.
Okay. But I'll give you those dates, and I'll give you those locations, and we'll do that as the show wears on. We'll hear something from Newfound Glory as well, and we'll hop back to the phones and talk to Donald. Donald?
Hello?
Hey, you're 13. What's up?
Hi.
Hey.
This is kind of embarrassing, but I've lost a testicle.
Yeah, did you check under the car seat?
That world that you want.
It gets under. Yeah, everything.
I got in a bike crash.
Oh, I see.
I like smashed it, and it crushed.
Right.
So like, I went to the doctors.
Hey, turn your. Did you hit your head too, Donald? Or
no?
Are you listening to the radio in the background?
I'm listening to the radio.
Oh, okay. Well, you got to turn that down, right?
Okay.
It's on a delay. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like so. I went to the doctors and they x-rayed it and stuff, and they said it was crushed.
Right.
So, like...
Didn't that hurt like hell?
Yeah.
How long did you wait before you went to the doctor?
Like, I tried to get there, like, as fast as I could.
Fast as he could ride his bike.
Yeah, and,
So they took it out, huh?
Yeah. So, like, and I don't know if I could have, like, kids or anything.
Oh, yeah. You're fine.
Absolutely no problem. But didn't you ask that question?
To the doctor?
Didn't you ask that question when they were doing this?
Like they didn't like answer me though.
No, it's no problem. No problem.
By the way, shouldn't they have some literature like "So You Lost a Nut"? You know, a little pamphlet you
life.
Can take home with you. You shouldn't feel ashamed.
Yeah,
you know, you can have children. I mean, shouldn't they send you packing with something?
Yeah, the empty ball sack and you.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, Donald.
Yeah.
They didn't give you a prosthetic one.
No.
It's all right. Would you want one?
I guess.
No, but you wouldn't. You know what? Let me tell you something about the nutsack. We've talked about it before. It's the ugliest thing that God has ever created. So how could it get uglier?
Mm-hmm.
And you trying to dress it up with a fake nut. You know, that's like when 80-year-old women put on that real red lipstick.
Yeah, same thing.
You want to hump them all of a sudden.
There's hair all over the lips.
It's getting caught up in the lip. They got food in it. They have a little palsy, so it gets all over their face. It's like, honey, it's not making it better. Just go without. Same with the nutsack. You're not going to make it look any better.
No, my Donald, testicles got ants on it.
Donald, you're going to be fine. Absolutely fine.
Maria?
Yes.
You're 29.
Yes.
What's up?
I was wondering, how long is Paxil typically used and in what dosage?
Sounds like it. Wow. Are you angry, Maria?
No, I'm not.
Hmm.
How come your answer sounds a little angry?
The question even sounds angry.
No, you okay? Fine. You like men?
Yes.
You love your dad?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. All right, there you go. That's better.
Dose is usually between 20 and 40 milligrams or 10 and 40. And the rule of thumb is you stay on it for 6 months after symptoms subside. But these days, therapies tend to go on a little bit longer in that there's about a 50% probability that it'd be a recurrence in the symptoms you're being treated for. It's an antidepressant medicine, Paxil.
Oh,
Paxil. 50% chance things will recur in that year or two afterwards. So people sometimes now are getting into much longer term therapies.
All right.
I have another question also.
Yeah.
What is the...
I don't know. I'm not crazy about your attitude, so you can ask someone who likes you.
Or hold on for a while and we can...
Yeah, hang on. All right?
Think about that other question.
All right.
She doesn't understand why you're punishing her. She has no awareness of how hostile she is.
Listen, I don't like her vibe. Yeah. I want people kissing ass on this show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
They should be polite if they're calling you for help.
Not polite. Grateful.
No, I want like a good ass licking.
Kiss my ass, Adam.
I'm a big celebrity, Drew. I'm a B/C celebrity. All right, let's talk to Heather, who's 18. Heather?
Hi.
Hey, you're on with Newfound Glory. What's your question tonight?
I would just like to address some comments that I heard earlier.
Mm-hmm. Earlier tonight, or
yeah, tonight.
Okay,
must have been last night because you're in Austin.
I was listening to the radio before I called.
That's right. That's last night's show.
Oh, that's last night's show.
Day delay, but go ahead.
Whatever.
Go ahead.
Okay. I was hearing some stuff about. I'm Muslim. Okay, and and I mean, I know about the whole tragedy thing, and to be honest with you, it honestly disgusts me what happened. But I don't appreciate the way that my religion is being downsized because of it.
Well, you got to understand there's going to be a certain amount of that. I mean, it's fairly logical. Like... Yeah?
No, go ahead.
No, I was thinking, there is a certain amount of that, and it's not right. But think about what it would be like if you were some Christian terrorist in a Muslim society and you did this act of violence.
No, you were a Christian, and a Christian mob, a terrorist had done it.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You'd be dead meat. And there's a certain amount of that going on in this country, and no amount of it is good, but I think you got your best chance being in this country than you would in another country being that way. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't know if that answered your question, but you know what my point is?
It doesn't make it right. That's
no,
for sure.
No, but what specifically?
I have friends... that have been persecuted for no reason because they didn't cause that thing. They don't. I mean, our religion strictly forbids what happened.
Happened to your friends?
Their professors and stuff were talking about the incident. They were like, "Kill all the Muslims and all this."
No,
stuff.
No way,
no.
The FBI. Then they should have called the FBI. Seriously, they should have called someone.
That's
a hate crime, and hate crimes are against the law. Even advocating a hate crime.
No professor said kill all the Muslims.
No, they were talking about it. I mean, I know because one of my teachers was talking about it too, but another student like spoke up and said that it was offending him, so he stopped. But
where is she from? Arizona?
Yeah, it's got to be junior college.
Oh,
no,
I'm
Austin.
From
Austin. It's the heat.
Austin, Texas. Texas.
Heat frying the brain. Yeah. Hey, what college are these friends of yours at?
Oh, they're in Houston, actually. They go to St. Jack in Houston.
Religious. Maybe it's a fundamentalist.
Oh, okay. Well, who knows? All right. So any other objections?
Something about about the whole marriage thing and having more than one wife and stuff like that.
Right.
That's not it's not a highly common practice.
Well, we didn't talk about that.
On the other show?
No,
never talked about it.
I heard something about virgins.
Oh, Drew, yeah.
In heaven.
If you're a martyr, you get some virgins.
In heaven.
Right, in heaven, not on earth.
Actually, that's not true.
Well, that's what I hear left and right. You don't get, you don't get any virgins in heaven?
No, see, the thing is, okay.
Well, you don't, you're a chick, but the guys do, right?
No, it's different. It's not the same. It's like, if... If you die, okay, first of all, what they did, that's not a martyr. That's not dying for any cause. That's killing innocent people and killing yourself. And
for suicide, but their perception is,
go to hell.
Yeah, but
whatever their perception is, it's not true, because if you kill yourself for any reason, you go to hell. I mean, it's suicide,
right.
no matter what.
Well, this is the problem with a lot of religions, though, which is just open to interpretation.
It's like fuels delusional
thinking. Born-again Christian shoots an abortion doctor.
Right.
You understand? This is the problem with religion in general, is people take it and run with it.
That's true. That's very
And obviously, that's what these people have done.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
That's like...
And, you know, another important point, I think, Heather, is that name?
Yeah.
Is that Arab Muslims, actually only a third of Muslims in the world.
Yeah.
Most of the biggest populations are
Indian.
Most
are from San Diego.
Indian.
I was going to say Orange County.
Orange County, too. But Indian Muslims is actually the biggest population. And only a tiny percentage is this fringe stuff.
Yeah, the Indians. Yeah, they're docile folk over there. They're like Gandhi. They just, they're so busy. You know, the problem with the Indians is they're so scared their nuts are going to fall out all the time. They're always wearing like a diaper or robe or something, that they never want to do anything physical.
They have to sit.
Yeah, you know, like once in a while you go out and get your newspaper and you're just wearing boxer shorts. You don't want to chase anyone down the street. You're always scared your nuts are going to fall out. I think that's what's going on with the Indian Muslims, bro. Uh-huh.
So get pants and they'll be fine.
If we got them some like biking shorts, they'd be kicking a lot of ass. So that's why we have to keep bike shorts out of India, Drew.
Okay.
Write that down.
Bike shorts out of India.
That's going to be part of my foreign policy. Anthony?
Yeah?
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
Like, maybe about 6 months ago, I was addicted to methamphetamines.
Mm-hmm.
And just lately, like, I've had high blood pressure, so I went to the doctor. And it was the doctor's like, I have an appointment for an EKG tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering if that methamphetamine addiction could, like, raise my high blood pressure.
How high was your pressure?
It was 146.
Over what?
I don't know.
You mean your pulse was elevated or your blood pressure was elevated?
My blood pressure.
So blood pressure is two numbers, 146 over...
Easy. He doesn't know the other part.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're not talking about your pulse, because 146 is a pulse rate.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, maybe it's his pulse was elevated.
Pulse up, stimulants can do that. Blood pressure, no.
So if your pulse is up, will that raise your blood pressure, though?
Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes.
So if you got your pulse going, then your blood pressure may go behind it.
Sometimes it can drop your blood pressure, too.
But never. It always goes up. Come on, Drew.
No, in fact,
Drew hates it when I'm right.
The problem with that rapid pulse is it usually causes hypotension and shock.
Yeah.
And that's why it becomes a medical emergency.
Yeah, you know I'm right.
And Anthony, the deal is, though, your amphetamine addiction is a bigger issue here, and that's what needs to be treated. Are you in recovery of any type?
Well, yeah, I've been off of it for 6 months.
Yeah, are you in recovery, though?
What do you mean?
If you don't practice a program of recovery, it's just a matter of time before you escalate with that or something else.
Well, how do we know he was really into it? Were you really into it?
Yeah, I was really into it.
Oh, sorry, but I didn't mean to question your commitment to the drug lifestyle.
Oh.
You took that as an attack. Yeah. Hey, man, I was a junkie. Come on.
Talk to your doctor about
I got messed up all the time.
Your doctor should be helping.
A real problem. I tried to F my mom once.
The doctor should be referring you to someone who knows how to help you with this problem, because the clock is ticking and you're going back out again.
Are there other medicines that you should take to recover, or no? Is there anything to kind of get your body back to normal? Or?
Not really. The amphetamine takes about, you know, amphetamine depends how much you're using, whether you're smoking it or shooting it or just snorting it. It can damage the brain in a very, very similar pattern to what ecstasy does, in much, much lower levels of exposure. And that's permanent. That is permanent. And everything else, in terms of the mood disturbances and the sleep problems and the thinking disorders, those get better over about 6 months. But the addiction keeps progressing. And so he'll go back. He's probably smoking pot every day. That's probably how he's dealing with it. Yeah. Ask him.
Or
drinking. If he's drinking, that would raise his blood pressure, too.
Really? All right. Where is he? Line four?
Anthony?
Yeah?
Using any alcohol or pot?
Not regularly. I smoked pot like 2 weeks ago.
Okay. But not drinking. Okay. All right.
All right. Good times there.
Also, Dr. Drew?
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I've been like, if I stand up too fast, I'll pass out.
Yeah, see, that sounds like the pulse. They've got a rhythm problem. I don't know why they didn't put you in the hospital, frankly, if that's... Really? Unfortunately, Anthony, I'm not clear what you have, whether it's elevated blood pressure or elevated pulse or what precisely they observe, but it sounds like it's something that it needs very, very careful observation.
Okay, so...
Did you do a lot of cocaine, too?
No, it was just methamphetamine.
Cocaine's actually worse. Don't pop up too fast in the meantime.
Yeah.
Get one of those chairs for old people that sit you up slowly through
recliner.
A hydraulic system.
Oh, with a little remote?
They have ones that are like the dump truck chair.
Yeah. My great-grandma has one of those.
Yeah, borrow that. I'm thinking about getting one of those for my bed.
Oh, just you have somebody, one of your people just pushed around behind you.
They don't show up. Manuel does not show up until 10 in the morning. I like to get up about 9:45. Oftentimes, I have to lie there until he comes up and helps me out of bed.
It's craftmatic. You've seen those commercials at night.
It's right to make you lazier, Adam. What? Oh, no.
You know what I love about those? I love that concept, and I know it can't work, that sort of dual bed thing. Where it's like, over here, she has a climate control on this, and she likes it soft, and she's sawing logs over here. You have it tilted up. You're watching the ball game. You're eating popcorn. You're having a party. You're making a bachelor party on your half of the bed while the wife sleeps away at the firmness that she's dialed in. You know that could never happen, right?
It's two separate beds. They just don't
They have to be in different parts of the state, though. They can't be attached to each other. Otherwise, your wife would not let you eat popcorn to watch TV while she went to bed, right?
No.
All right. Newfound Glory is here tonight. We are going to...
thank you again.
Why don't we... should we hear a song?
No. Anderson says no.
Anderson says no.
Fine.
Next segment.
All right.
You're going to keep saying that. You're never going to play a song. You know that.
That's right. Who knows? Well, we'll play half a song. All right. We'll be back with Newfound Glory after this.
Loveline.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Things slowly getting back to normal around here at Loveline. Newfound Glory's here.
Hello.
Cyrus and Chad are
now you know it's really normal.
Yeah, and we're taking calls tonight on anything you want to talk about. Some questions for Newfound Glory, some... typical Loveline questions and some questions about or comments about the tragedy. So we're mixing it up. We're also going to hear something from Newfound Glory off the new CD, Newfound Glory. I think we'll do that after we take a call. Also, some rescheduled dates with Blink 182. Sunday, September 16th. That's this Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Out at Anaheim.
We're not playing that next day in Oklahoma.
Oh, okay.
I just tried to get to Oklahoma City. I've been trying to get there. I'm trying to get there tomorrow. Impossible.
Flights? Really? You can't. You flights.
Impossible.
Really?
Yeah. I just talked to one of my best friends who's stuck in Oklahoma. It's funny that Oklahoma keeps coming up. I just got off the phone with the guy. He can't get out of Oklahoma. Drew wants to get into Oklahoma. And Newfound Glory is not going to Oklahoma, right?
Yeah, it's just Blink.
Wednesday, September 19th at Long Beach, Thursday, September 20th in Phoenix, Arizona, and Friday, September 21st in San Diego.
And it's all over. 3-month-long tour.
Right, and no Europe tour.
Yeah, we go home now.
Yeah, we're supposed to, well, it's not completely confirmed, but it looks like we're most definitely not going, but we were supposed to go to Europe for about a month and a half. Had it all planned out, and we were all excited, but...
Because of the tragedy?
Yeah.
And so it's back, see the family, go back to Florida and chill out for a while.
Yeah, and then we actually start a headlining tour in South Florida, October, 22nd,
yeah,
I think.
That's going to come to Palladium in L.A.
Right. So. All right, well, come back and see us when you come back. But you can stay now. Don't get me wrong. All right.
Kicked out already.
Let's take a question for Newfound Glory. All right, Drew? Weston?
Yeah, hey.
Hey, you're 16. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Adam?
Hey.
Dude, you're like God.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, we try to look up to you.
See, that's what you like to hear, right?
Stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Go to all guys school. The kids love you. But anyways, I had a question for Newfound Glory.
What's up?
I just saw you guys last weekend. You guys rocked. Blink has that encore, and Tom, runs out, and he's, waving the American flag.
There's the radio in the police car? Where are you?
Police scanner in the background.
My brother's all excited. Anyway, so, Tom comes out waving the American flag. I was wondering, are they still going to do that? I mean, because it's cool, they're telling how great America is, but now, with this big tragedy, is anything going to happen?
I don't really know.
We're not Blink, so yeah. I don't know. Do you want to talk about lesbians?
I don't think... What?
I would imagine they wouldn't stop doing it.
Yeah, they probably would do it even more.
The only thing is before it was they would come out to Top Gun theme and
be
all fun. But no, I mean I don't think they would. I mean we talked to Blink and they're upset just like everyone else and are kind of creeped out and just all upset about the whole tragedy. And I know that they wouldn't do anything to mock anything like to like the American flag or anything like that. Now they are jokesters, but they do have good heads on their shoulders. And
hi, this is Mark from Blink
182. There you go.
You are example. Listening to Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew on Love Line. I have a really big dick.
Did he say something about the flag? No. I'm gonna go get a flag tomorrow, by the way, and hang it outside the house.
That's good. I heard on the news that there was one store that sold like 200 flags in like a couple hours yesterday.
Too bad we don't have antennas anymore in our cars.
Yeah. There's nothing to hang anything from anymore. Yeah, you used to be able to put something on your antenna.
Well, you can do the football thing, like
you can do the Lakers
clips on the window.
That's what we got. Is that what you do? We'll get one of those, Adam.
Is that what you guys do when you go to the mall?
Yeah,
on your car.
That's right.
You know, the tennis balls and the.
I'm gonna pick one of those up and hang it up tomorrow. I wouldn't even mind a flagpole. I always liked those dudes who had the flagpole in front of their house. It's always the old veteran guy who had it in front. I just thought there was something cool about that. I mean, it's like part ship, part house. You know, when you got that flagpole out front? Like, somehow if the wind blows hard enough, it might turn the house over or something. I may do a flagpole, too, Drew. You got a flag?
I would like to. You got to do a half mast. You got to raise it all the way to the top and then lower it down.
Oh, you don't just raise it halfway.
And you go all the way to the top and then bring it down. At the end of the day, you go back up and then back down.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And then you fold it in like that triangle.
Yeah.
Right?
Cyrus used to do that in elementary school.
You do the fold or do the raise?
Raise the flag every day?
Yeah. Cyrus got most intelligent in eighth grade.
I did.
Wow. What happened?
I was actually... I was
well,
really,
small town.
No, actually. Well, Hollywood, Florida.
Oh, really?
I just want to note that Newfound Glory, we're from Coral Springs, Florida, and I know where they found... We live right down the street from where they found one of the tourists.
Wow, that's interesting.
Those guys ate at a bar in Hollywood in my hometown.
Really?
A week ago, and they refused to pay the check.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's like a thing about it. Yeah.
I used to ride my bike where those guys were living.
Well, wasn't the one of the flight schools they trained at or something out in that area, too?
Or they're looking at a whole bunch of them down there.
Yeah. That's why I focus on Florida when there's trouble in this country.
It's
always some troublemakers there.
That's why we're moving to California.
All right.
No troublemakers here.
We're moving. Everyone in California is moving to Canada, so it all works out. That's what we ought to do. We ought to just do it, swap it around every once in a while. Everyone from Florida moves to California. Everyone in California go to Canada.
When they get too cold, then they go back down to Florida and do a little circle.
We're going to hear something from Newfound Glory. This is, you queued up there, Anderson? This is off the CD, Newfound Glory. It's called Dress to Kill. Newfound Glory, everybody. Drew, shush up over there, please. Trying to do a radio show. Off of Newfound Glory, the name of the CD. Going to be with Blink 182 in a town possibly near you for
unless
a while.
Unless you live in Oklahoma.
And then they won't be in a town near you, but... they will probably get to Oklahoma during their headlining tour, which is coming up a few months later.
We're not coming there. No, I'm sorry. Eventually, we'll hit Oklahoma.
Yeah, eventually. So you Oklahoma.
I don't even know if anyone likes us from Oklahoma.
I think you'd probably find some people who weren't originally from Oklahoma
who
then transplanted there who are Newfound Glory fans.
Cool.
I would assume that. Michelle?
Hi.
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, my mom works in D.C., and the day after the bombing, she didn't go to work, but she went to work today, and they had a bomb scare across the street.
In the Capitol building?
Job. Huh?
In the Capitol building?
No, it was Constitution Hall.
So they had all kinds of bomb scares today in Washington.
Where does your mother work?
Where?
What building?
She works for the interior.
In the interior building?
Right.
Okay. Which is sort of near the Smithsonian, like? Is that where that is?
Whatever.
All right. Well,
that's what we're saying.
It's going to take a while. You ever actually talk to your mom, Michelle?
Huh?
Okay. So she works in the for the interior.
Right.
Okay.
And you're afraid that she's going to be a victim of some sort of assault, or?
Yes, and also she's thinking about going on a trip to California next weekend. And I can't handle her going to work and then her going to California, too.
Yeah, it's got to be tough. I was going to go to Oklahoma yesterday. I couldn't get a plane out, but my kids are sort of flipping out a little bit, too. And here's the thing about air travel right now. The time to have been scared about air travel, last week.
Right.
Not so much this week.
Yeah, I mean, why is she taking a vacation to California?
Yeah.
Well,
That's kind of silly.
Yeah, it seems like if it's just if it's not for business and it's not for a funeral or something something of that nature, if it's just for fun, she should chill out for a couple months.
Not a good time to take a vacation.
Right.
I've been trying to tell her, and it's for her friend's birthday, and her friend really wants her to come. It's not they're not understanding that.
Can you go with? Hang on. Can you go with her?
What? And blow up on the plane too? Why is she not going with her?
Maybe.
Please, Michelle.
Hmm.
Look, I understand you're freaked out, but these bomb threats, you know, I mean, they cleared out the Capitol building, and there was a briefcase that somebody didn't find. I mean, everybody's on hyper alert. Mm-hmm. It wasn't as if someone was actually trying to blow up the Capitol building.
Right,
it's like some page set his attaché case down and went to go take a dump and cleared the building out.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have happened 4 days ago. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I know it feels, and I think this is an important thing to talk about. I think a lot of people can't process all that's coming at them such rapid fire.
Yeah.
And they're hearing all of these stories, and it feels like the world is closing in on them.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to really, it's sort of like, remember in Scooby-Doo? Remember at the end, and they think there was a ghost the entire episode, but at the very end, they'd pull the mask off the old farmer, and then they'd go through every part of it. They'd go, oh, yeah, and that whole thing was only one of these, and this was mechanically, and that was that, and this is that. You got to stop and do that in your mind.
Lies.
Yeah, I mean, I understand she's hearing about these bomb threats, but this is not, you know, what happened in the Capitol building, that was not a bomb threat. Today. I mean, everyone is taking this stuff and running with it. I mean, I remember living in L.A. Once every about 10 years, people shoot people on the freeway, and it just becomes popular. And then every 5 years, pit bulls kill people. We go back and forth. Yeah. If you live in L.A., it's either pit bulls or getting shot on the freeway. And what happens is once they start bringing these stories up about people getting shot on the freeway, then there's some story about some kid who was waving a Daisy air rifle around, and that makes headline news.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so you keep listening to all this, and you start freaking out. But it's really not all that it is.
Yeah.
And this is a tragedy, and we should all be shaken by it, but not so freaked that mama can't go to work and you can't go to school.
Yeah, I really think it's time to stand tall, too. Just go ahead and just keep putting one foot in front of the other.
Right.
It's all right.
All right. We're going to take ourselves a break. Let's talk to Nadine before we do, though. 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, well, I'm very, very upset about the whole thing. I mean, it's really sad what happened, and I'm very hurt by it, but I want to read this letter. First off, I'm Arabic. My parents are. I'm fully Arabic, and everything that's going on is really, really bad. I mean, there's people that are scared. I mean, all this racism against Arabs right now. I mean, like, okay, I'm really nervous right now, so I wrote this this thing, like a letter, and I would like to read it. Is that okay?
Maybe we gotta go to break first.
Okay.
It's time for that.
How many letters are in the letter?
How many words?
I want a letter count.
I can read it really fast. I think it's really important because my friend, after the accident, I mean, the whole thing happened. Like, the next day, she was yelled at. She was throwing stuff at because she was Arabic.
Wild. I took my kids to soccer practice tonight, and there were so many different... I can't even tell all
Hold on names. A second, Nadine. Yeah, because we'll hear the letter after a break. What about your kids?
There's more nationalities represented on that team than states in the union, and I can't even tell what they are. But they're all Americans. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And most of the parents are
Well, they're
are
all mixed. Gay. I mean, they got that in common. You know, they're all playing soccer, so we all know they're
mixed.
Played soccer
there's
for a
mixed
while.
Ethnicities. That's our little communities is, you know, all kinds of ethnicities. It's ridiculous to let people...
But they all fall under that flag with the triangle, the pink triangle that's upside down.
Everyone is
I mean, that's their universal flag, that gay flag, right?
Yeah, that's our team flag.
No, I think the whole racism thing going on now is just insane. It's like people should wake up already and just... I don't know, it's just insane. It's just, I think it'd be over at over that by like 2001.
Well, it's like this. People have a lot of energy and they don't know where to direct
it. They're angry.
They're angry and they're scared and they're whatever, and it's all pent up, and there's, you know, they should be, you know, meditating or beating the crap out of a heavy
bag, but
they're looking for this. And people, you know, let's face it, not everyone in the United States is a genius. There's a lot of people with a low IQ, and they're doing this. And it's wrong, but I do think it has been kept to a minimum for the most part.
I think the point that how different, how out of control it would have been in any other country.
I absolutely believe that. You would not want to be a Christian walking around in an Arabic nation.
If a Christian just done a
suicide bombing, I don't think that you'd be safe at all.
No.
Okay, we're going to take, so we know we're better, right? Okay. We're going to, just as long as we got that out of the way, we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back and we'll hear Nadine's letter after this.
Love Line.
1-800-LOVE-191. They
should have
anticipated.
All right. Drew, what? Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. Ian, Cyrus, and Chad are all here from Newfound Glory. Newfound Glory is the name of the CD. We're just talking about bashing Arabic folks and Islam and all that stuff. And I was saying, although there's some of it going on, I don't think it's at an epidemic level. I haven't heard about any fatalities.
Well, actually, there was something that happened in Texas, and a lot of people in the high schools were getting bashed because they're Arabic, and it's happening.
Oh, I would never deny that there's going to be some bashing going on, but there's a definite difference between name-calling or rock-throwing, even, in fatalities.
Yeah, well, you know, people are telling her, you know, go back to your country.
I that's not right, and I'm not defending it, but I'm saying the fact that it's been, you know, 2 days since this tragedy, and to the best of my knowledge, I've not heard any reporting of any fatalities amongst these people of this religion is a good sign to me.
Yeah. We have skinheads and people looking for trauma out there. You know?
Well, I've been writing letters to NBC. I've been writing letters to Arabic newspapers. And, I mean, I'm really nervous, so I would like to read the letter.
All right.
On behalf of the Arabian.
Go right ahead.
Okay. I'm really devastated by what happened. The news is shocking to everyone, including myself. Not only that has something very bad happened here, but a big change in American people. No longer do we live in a country where we can feel safe. No longer do we live in a country where we can feel proud or walk into a big building and not feel fear. No longer can we go on a plane and not worry what's going to happen. No longer can we be the same before September 11th horrible incident. No longer can we go on living the same we always have. No longer can we walk across the street without being proud of who we are, Arabic Americans. I was born in America, but both my parents are Arabic. I'm very proud of that and something I'm not ashamed of. But now as the tragedy in New York has happened, there's a lingering fear and hate towards the Arabian people. I fear society is too blinded to stop and see that not every Arabian is the same. We are not monsters like those people that killed so many innocent people. But now as I watch the news and the things that are happening so quickly, I realize the hate that is growing in America for Arabians. To me, this is very, very wrong. It seems America has grown a hate for Arabians overnight. Our country has grown into bitterness and hate. Americans have... what happened, this hate? Okay, this hate that...
Teleprompter froze up.
they seem to think that by hating towards Arabians will bring back the dead. Well, it won't. It won't change what happened. This hate that Americans have for Arabians needs to stop now in the beginning before it grows too big and spreads like wildfire. This hate will not bring the innocent back to life. By hating each other, we are doing exactly what the terrorists wanted. We need to stick together, lean one another, and grieve together. We need to grow together and learn from this experience so it won't happen again. We need to stop the hate. We need to stop the pollution of pointing fingers. We cannot point fingers towards Arabians.
Did she say this with a short letter?
Because it's not us, the Arabians' fault. There is bad Arabians, true, but there is bad whites, Jews, blacks, Russians, etc. There is bad in everything. And by hating and pointing fingers at Arabians, it will get us nowhere as a society. There are many good Arabians, like there is good in many things and people. The American people need to realize that they cannot blame us Arabians for what a few Arabians caused. They need to realize not every Arabian is like those horrible people. If it had been any other race, would this
happen? Maybe we gotta stop this.
All right. Hey, Nadine. All right, we got the gist.
Okay.
Yeah, you're saying the same thing over and over and over.
I know you got a lot of energy with this, but I would caution you about just sort of picking it up and running with it. I hang around with uneducated racist guys almost exclusively. I mean, you know, that's who I like to surround myself with. They've not said anything.
American is a multicultural, multi-ethnic proposition today, and that we're all kinds of colors and all kinds of people and all kinds of languages.
Yeah,
nobody's gonna point fingers at American anything.
Arabs aren't gonna be like shipped away and
no, it's not gonna be like Japanese internment camps or something. That's even the thought of it is bizarre. It's just impossible.
Grown from that.
But there's a lot of hate towards Arabians all of a sudden. There's a lot. There's been they've even been reporting incidents around.
Have you heard of any fatalities from this?
Yes, I have. I heard about the cab driver in New York that got assaulted. I'm not sure what exactly happened.
He was not killed, though.
No, he wasn't killed, but he was assaulted.
I'm asking, have you heard of any fatalities, though?
No.
I'm saying that's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of like...
very good, but, it's still... There's still... people need to stop this
But Nadine, every time I turn the TV, somebody is reminding us of that.
You know what?
Every single time.
The media... It's showing the bad of a race.
No, Nadine, every time I pick up look at a television, they're saying,
"Don't
remember, we're Americans, they're different colors, different Arab Americans, they're Americans." Nadine, you are doing
this. You're
for this.
Yes.
I've been watching a lot of it, and it shows, every time I watch it, it seems like they show the bad of the Arabians.
You believe that's what we are seeing some very small, fringe, awful group of people from another world. Doing something. They're not Americans. We know the difference.
I remember there's stupid people everywhere. I remember when the whole, Rodney King thing went on.
Right.
You know what I mean? And my brother went to a school that was, 20% whites, 80% blacks, and all the kids in his high school ran and got beat up. I mean, there was the whole racist thing going on. Like, the whole white cop and, white kid, black kid thing back then. And I feel that, compared to that, they're just stupid kids everywhere, and kids are young, and stupid people everywhere, and you have to understand that the news, I don't know, I just think she's overreacting a little bit.
Yeah.
She got some energy, yeah, and I would never deny that there's not some of this going on, and there almost has to be. It's like a mathematical equation. Forget about nationalities and forget about religions. If there's greens, blues, yellows, and purples living together, and a couple blues do something evil to the yellows and the reds and the purples, there's going to be a certain amount of anti-blue sentiment that's going around.
Amongst the stupid yellow, purples, and...
Right. Well, the yellows aren't the Japanese.
No.
Oh, I was thinking that. I didn't say
that. It wouldn't be stupid.
Okay, good.
Right.
All right. But here's my point. There's going to be that.
Yeah.
But there has been... And the question is how much of that is there going to be? And I think it's been held to a minimum. Now, I'm a white guy who's not getting picked on, so maybe I don't know. But I've not heard of any fatalities, and I think that's the bottom line.
Well, I'm not scared at all. I'm actually Arabic. My dad's from Iran.
Yeah.
I was born in America.
It doesn't even occur to me.
I'm not worried about it at all. I walk around.
He actually doesn't know yet, but we're getting a new drummer.
Oh, great.
Right, yeah.
Phew.
Huh? No chance.
I'm not sure.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back. Hey, it's Loveline, everybody. Jordan and Steve have joined us from Newfound Glory.
Rap.
Hello.
Ian is still here playing the... doing the anchoring at the end of the desk there.
What's up, bro?
Say hi, Ian.
We're going to hear something again off the Newfound Glory CD, which is entitled Newfound Glory, sometime in this next hour, probably sooner than later. We're also going to take your calls, and we'll take them about anything you want. Newfound Glory, or STDs, or the tragedy that went on Tuesday, whatever you want. Larry?
Yeah, hello.
You're 18. What's up?
Me and my girl just started... having sex a while ago.
Yeah.
And
you on the toilet?
Doing it right now, dude?
No, I was in my bed.
<All right.
coughs>
Yeah?
Yeah. And she was virgin and still hurts after we did it five times, and the five times it's hurting every time I put it in.
How old is she?
She's 17.
You in the right hole? It hurt. It hurt. That happened to me the first five times.
Tight is good.
The dude was like, I mean, the chick.
It hurts at the moment you penetrate and then keeps hurting, or does it get better after a while?
Well, there's a problem. Yeah, it starts hurting after a while, but then it goes away. But then she doesn't feel anything. She has, like, no sexual pleasure. So I mean, what's wrong there, you know?
Use some lube.
I did.
Yeah? What happened? Didn't work?
Nah.
You mean she doesn't orgasm?
No, she doesn't just feel anything. She doesn't feel any type of pleasure. I'm not bad or anything. I'm not small.
Listen, most 17-year-old women don't have orgasms during intercourse.
But they're not numb.
Do you really mean numb?
Well, I asked her if she feels anything. She's like, well, you know, I don't really feel much. Like, I really wouldn't be able to orgasm out of it. I'm like...
Well, that's right. That's normal. But to feel nothing...
Well, do you think she was traumatized in any way?
Okay, yeah. Well, she was, like, abused when she was a child, but, like, not any... penetration or anything like that.
That can still do it. Sexual abuse of all types can cause a sort of a disconnect.
Yeah.
And pain, pelvic pain and things. And she may have some vaginismus, some spasm of the pelvic floor.
I agree with you. You got to get her to blow you. I know where you're heading with this one.
Richard.
Yeah. But do that for a while.
You know, possibly this will sort of improve with time if she feels more comfortable with you. But then if it isn't, she may have some needs for some more treatment.
Do you go down on her?
Yeah.
Does she enjoy that?
Nah.
Okay, then don't do it, because that's my policy. It's like, honey, unless this is heaven, I'm out of here. Let's not waste our time.
One thing that is effective is like a rubbing thing.
Yeah, yeah. Use your hand.
Yeah, that gets her, but
the nubby.
Yeah, use the ring finger there. All right, Larry.
Oh, another thing.
Yeah.
I had a comment about that. Did you guys hear about some weird object like heading towards a plane before it landed on the building?
No.
It landed on the building. And by the way, hold on. They keep using the term land.
Land?
The plane landed on... I hear the news doing the plane that landed in the Pentagon, the plane that landed...
It didn't
look,
land.
If that's landing, I ain't going to be flying for a while. Go ahead and call it what it was. I don't like those euphemisms, because next time I'm up there and they're talking about landing, I may think we're going into a federal building. That landed. It's like, it's almost surreal. It's like, the one that landed on the Pentagon as opposed to the one that landed in Pittsburgh. Is that landed? No.
Crashed.
Yes, that's right. All right, so he had what did he want to know? Yeah, he was too insane. All right. I want to know what his thing was. Larry?
Yeah.
So the one that landed on the building.
Yeah, like right before it hit the building.
He said something hit it.
Something was like going towards the plane but missed it. It's a rumor I heard, like, around
the... Oh, place. Yeah, no, it's bold. Listen, we're going to hear a lot of those... You hear a lot of those stories about, you know, maybe the one in Pittsburgh was shot down, you know, this, that, and the other. Look, American jet aircraft on that sort of short notice are not going to shoot down any wide-body commercial jetliners. I just couldn't see it happening. Right. I mean, that's why it's a real diabolical plan.
Hey, they took a swipe around the mall. They did a loop around downtown Washington, D.C. there.
Right. I mean, who's going to pull the trigger on one of those sidewinders at a commercial airliner? Yeah. Especially when you're caught off guard. You don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. You just think they're off course at that point. Ken?
Yeah, hi.
You're 18. What's up?
Yeah, well, I actually, I'm just like most other people, and everybody's pretty gung-ho all go to war on these people. Oh, they've done such a tragedy to everybody and stuff. But what I don't think people don't realize is if we did go to war on, say, Afghanistan or some other Arab nation or so forth, I don't think people realize exactly what kind of a war that they're dealing with and what type of cost it could cost America in the future just to go to war on these people, because people seem to think it's going to be like a Desert Storm, which was ideal for our army.
Right.
Where we go in, we blow the crud out of everybody, missile attacks and everything, because there's nowhere for them to hide.
Right. You mean because of the terrain?
Right.
Right.
A country like Afghanistan is mountainous. It has a lot of trees and stuff. It's going to be a lot harder.
Yeah, I was just looking at a vacation brochure over there. Apparently, it's a golfer's paradise. I just canceled my plans.
Skiing in summer.
They were actually showing videos in the news today of the training that the Arabs were doing, like all the militia groups, that like showing them shooting guns and throwing bombs and just like doing, just like... practicing for war. You know what I'm saying? It's not like we're going to go in there and it's going to be a piece of cake. These people are crazy. They don't care if they die.
It's they're a scrappy bunch. There's
but
no
again,
doubt about
I,
that.
I mean, understand.
They beat the Russians in 10 years.
Do people who are 18, 19, 20 watch different television than I watch? Because
I don't know.
Every time I turn on CNN, this is what they're talking about. That this is a sustain. This will take years. Be very expensive. And one guy said it very eloquently. He says,
that's what Ken's talking about,
yeah,
right?
But the point is that they bring it up, like, we need to be aware of this. I can't turn a television on without somebody really raising this very strongly. And the one I heard a CNN commentator raising it rather eloquently tonight, where he said, we need to change our model. It's not about sort of surgical extraction anymore. It's like the disease. We have to see it sort of infiltrated our body, and we have to go after the disease little by little and treat it and heal it, and it's going to take a long time.
Within our own borders is what you're saying.
It's all here. It's in 55 countries, they figure. 55 countries this guy has cells.
The terrorism.
Yep.
Or the terrorists. You know the thing that's interesting, too, and I don't know, it just popped into my head, but you got a kick-ass military when you're complaining about, well, we may have to actually go onto the ground to kick ass, and estimates are as high as 10 Americans dying, and we may even lose a plane and a PT boat. I mean, it's like, we are so used to just kicking and annihilating total ass as Americans that the thought of is sort of getting our hands dirty. It's like we're going to enter a war, and people are going, well, I don't think you're going to just push a button. You may have to go down on the ground and get shot at. You may lose a handful of people. And we're like, ooh, we didn't think about that. I mean, that if you just think about it, if you just sort of get a little distance from this whole thing, it's pretty good to be in that country. Where you're talking about, I don't know what the final stats on Desert Storm was, but we killed more of our own people. Mm-hmm. That's, by the way, how you know you're a kick-ass country. When you actually kill more of the enemy, and you kill more of your own than they get.
But I think the terrorists know that, that the repercussions of what was going to happen, obviously, if
I think they planned it.
Yeah, it's like, obviously, they know that we're going to retaliate, you know what I'm saying?
But do you think they have some sort of bigger plan for us?
Oh, that's what we were talking about last night.
But
what I'm scared of.
Here's the thing about their bigger plan for us. I think they would love to see the entire continental United States and Hawaii. Is Alaska part of the continental United States?
Mm-hmm.
We'll look into that. They'd like to see it all go up in a ball of flames. I mean, there's no doubt that these people would love to take out as many millions and as many cities and cause as much devastation as humanly possible. The good news is when the giant is awakened and looking around and pissed off, they cannot do it. Because we have such superior numbers and firepower and intelligence and so on and so forth. They can only do it when we fall asleep like we had over the last few years. So there's no doubt they'd love to do something. The question is are we going to let them do it again? And I'm hoping the answer is no. And we are in the position where we can avoid that just because of the money and the resources that this country has and the military that this country has. Kevin?
Yes, sir.
You're 34. What's up?
How you doing? First of all, I want to give you guys props for what you're doing. I think Drew is very competent. I've checked out some of the advice that he's given, some of your callers.
You followed it up, huh?
Yeah.
Good.
Good job, Drew. And Adam, you are just a funny dude, man. I really dig your style.
Do you remember the last time we had this?
Thanks,
it was at
Kevin.
The end of a show. And somebody started out like this and then just started laying into us?
Yeah, it would always go south eventually.
No, I'm totally on your side.
All right, well, thanks, Kevin. What's your question or comment?
Well, there's a couple of things. First off, I wanted to find out if you guys have heard anything about bin Laden being trained by the CIA some 15 years ago.
I didn't hear about that, but what I heard is that when we were in a Cold War with Russia, America had part in bringing those militias together and bringing all those people together and training them to fight the Russians on the border.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, when Afghanistan was fighting the Soviet Union, we were definitely siding with Afghanistan.
And we were giving them money, too.
I wouldn't be surprised if we helped them out, same way we helped out Vietnam and many other places that were fighting.
We tend to sell those countries weaponry and all kinds of different
things. Well, the deal was, and I know, again, like we like to beat ourselves up all the time, but the deal was as many years ago, not too many years ago, there were two powers on this planet. One was a democracy, and the other was this regime. And it was a fight to see what the planet was going to become. And so anybody who fought this the Soviet Union, we immediately backed because we did not want the Soviet Union to take over the planet, essentially. And a lot of these people we backed weren't great people, but it's still better than having the whole world go communist.
Right. Well, so I'm thinking that there's probably some sort of a personal issue here between bin Laden and the other terrorist groups and Bush and the CIA. I mean, being that George Sr. was running the CIA and Cheney, he's had hands in the CIA, and
well,
I can't help feeling like this was kind of personal, too.
Well, the big thing is with all these radical fundamentalist groups is they do not like our lifestyle. They do not like our freedom. They don't like the fact that we let women dress the way they dress and that the pornography is available. Thank God pornography is available.
And they don't like fighting with their enemies either.
Right?
They don't like us siding with their enemies either.
No, they don't like a whole bunch of stuff. And instead of just letting us do our thing, they're going to come over here and see if they can put an end to it.
Yeah.
All right. So any other comments there, Kevin?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you something for a couple of years now. Back at the beginning of last year of 2000, I was dating a girl, and she had this vaginal flatulence that was kind of peculiar to me.
I think flatulence really implies methane, like stinky gas.
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah, it was coming out of the oven.
It can't be the expulsion of air, just air.
That's just air being expelled.
Like if you put a compressed air up your ass and then spit it back
wouldn't
out.
Count.
That's
wouldn't
not
count.
Wouldn't count.
Wouldn't count.
Technically, no.
We all have methane poison from Ian's butt.
what
like a third eye. Call that a fart.
How long would you have to hold on to the air that you put up your ass for it to officially
stink it up
be a fart?
To stink it up.
No, I just mean to be counted.
Yeah.
15, 18 minutes?
There should be some sort of officiating in this.
Yeah.
Somebody that actually says, you made it.
A brown flag went up. That means he jumped the gun.
Well, I tell you, you could officiate the length and the amount of basically pussy farting that was going on with this girl.
That's nice.
But that's because your penis, and it really is, it's piston shaped. It has like a rod and a piston head on it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's bigger at the top than it is in the middle, and you're just pumping air into her, and eventually it's going to come out.
Well, I thought that, yeah, perhaps it's a position, because that's happened over the years a few times. You know, you get in a certain position, you hear that.
Some women, it depends sort of how things, the landscape is laid out on the inside there. They're more amenable to air coming in and going out.
I like Kevin is what you call rangy. Yeah. You know, he's up there talking about our links to bin Laden and Bush and his regime and the CIA backing this regime that was fighting the terrorists, that was fighting the Soviets. And then the next question, he's into the pussy farts. I mean, he's got a lot of range, this cat. That's what I love about
him. He handled that transition nicely, though.
It was very smooth. Yeah, he just dovetailed right into the queef question. Hey, he should really be some sort of analyst on CNN. Layla?
Hello.
You're 20?
Layla.
What's up?
How are you guys doing?
We're doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I heard that caller, Nadine, call in before. She sounded kind of young, and, like, she was sort of, like, freaked out about how Arabs are being treated.
Right.
Well, because I'm Arab myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I work at a Persian restaurant, and so far, like, all of our customers have been really supportive. Most of them are, like, white Americans.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't really, like, see any, like, mistreatment in the area that I live in, but I could feel for her as well, but I seem to be a bit more pragmatic about the issue.
Well, I think you're just being generally more realistic about it, which is if it's there, you'll call it, but if it's not there, you won't manufacture it.
Yeah.
And
like you said about like the if there's fatalities and there's reason to worry, but since there isn't, I mean, like my mom's friend said that during World War II, after it ended, the Germans here were being, like, treated really bad.
Oh, yeah. Listen, the Japanese and Germans were treated awfully.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well,
so, like, I mean, it's...
And listen, anybody who doesn't think that's going to happen, that's human nature, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a certain amount, it's not humans at their best.
It's human nature, but thank God it's no longer America.
Yeah.
Because America is many different...
Right.
Looking kinds of people, many phenotypes.
And I was saying to Drew, I don't know what anyone's nationality is by looking at them. I mean, do you know the difference between El Salvadorian and Nicaraguan or Mexican?
No idea.
Can you tell the difference?
No. And a lot of the kids are multi-ethnic, the kids themselves.
Yeah, they're mutts.
There's a lot of mixed people, yeah. And there's a lot of, you know...
And my kids refer to brown and light kids. That's all they talk about. They go, this kind of, well, they're describing, he's kind of brown.
But Drew, your kids are easy to figure. They're cracker. They're like albino cracker honkititis.
He's a brown
kids.
Guy.
I'm kind of brown.
Yeah.
We're all the same green religion, hair. Though.
Cyrus likes lemon rice.
Ian's more Samoan, though.
Honkititis.
Yeah, I mean, your kids are serious honkies. Serious. All right, so Layla, listen, I'm glad that folks aren't... you know, coming after you.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, if they were, it's sort of understandable. It would hurt, you know, because I am an American citizen.
Right.
And it would hurt, but it's sort of understandable. I mean,
but,
every group has their turn, you know?
Yeah, I mean, but also, too, I mean, physically you can be hurt, but emotionally, you know, how hurt can you be by idiots?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, people have, very low IQ and are sort of uneducated.
Yeah, these people that are, like, harassing people of Middle Eastern descent are stupid. They're saying, oh, let's bomb Afghanistan. We hate those Arabs. Well, like, no. Afghanis, they're not Arab.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like...
People don't know what they're talking about. They're just angry,
exactly,
and they're
like,
scared.
The ones that are angry are really ignorant.
Yeah.
And
right.
They but, have no knowledge of, like, Middle Eastern...
I'm just saying, overall, we had a tragedy, and I think the country's come together pretty nicely.
Yeah, and I'm like, really happy with how the media has handled it.
I'm saying,
like, well, the people of Middle Eastern descent here, they are American citizens, so treat them like Americans. Don't treat them like they're, yeah, like, part of the terrorist groups.
I've heard that a million times. People have been volunteering and donating and rising to the occasion. And, that's the only good thing that's come out of this, is to see the spirit of the American people. And I just don't want to see it tarnished. Now, I don't want to turn a blind eye to what's going on, but I don't want to see it tarnished from people who are overstating something that is not actually happening.
The massive strength that we have of being able to incorporate multiple cultures and multiple ethnicities is exactly what these guys are exploiting.
I know.
It's what they're exploiting.
Look around.
It's how they get around in our culture.
Right. Look at, just look what we got here. We got one of everything over here.
At the table right now?
No, I just mean in the studio.
Yeah.
We're short, like, I think we need like half a Jew and a Chinaman, but I think we'd be covered.
Oh, Jordan's half Jewish,
covered,
half Cuban.
We're covered on the Jew
I'm
part.
A Juban.
Oh, you got half. You have.
I'm Jewish.
Drew's half Jewish, so you guys would make a Jew.
I'm 100%.
We got a Jew. Oh, you guys are Jewish.
Three Jews.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so I'm 190 pounds of pimp as well.
100. We got the pimp cover. All right.
I'm a Jew pimp.
We'll take ourselves a little break when we come back. Newfound Glory will still be here. We'll talk to JD, who's wiping his butt from front to back,
or back to front,
or back to front. Oh, he wants to know which. All right, I'm gonna go. I'm going to go squat on that one and figure it out, because I can't remember. We'll be back.
Loveline. Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191. Back in a minute.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there. Ian and Steve are here from Newfound Glory. Jordan is...
There's Jordan.
There he is.
He was doing number two.
Shake the dew off his lily. And
did you wipe from front to back or back
Sorry,
to front?
Guys. I usually wipe... front to back. He usually sits down when he pees.
I think everyone goes front to back, right? Yeah. On the wipe?
Guys.
Well, girls can't go back to front either. They'll get all kinds
They're
of
supposed
stuff
to.
In
That's
the
right. They're supposed to go front to back.
Right. And you'd think it'd be easier for them to go front to back. They don't have to negotiate the balls. You know?
Yeah.
By the way, though, that ball, that's like a parking block for me. That's how my hand knows where to stop. And my hand's like waving around. I hit the ball and I'm like, oh, too far. Slide back. There we go. All right, let's talk to JD. JD?
Yep, I'm here.
You're 18?
Yeah.
So you want to know what direction?
Well, you know what? I was just thinking, I never thought about it before. You know, I just do it. I never
right.
really.
Sure.
And I go front to back, and I'm wondering if that's normal or because I haven't asked other people yet, you know?
All right, front to back.
Front to back. You're fine.
Front to back, that's normal.
And women need to go front to back.
Yeah. Well, hey, I
who cares?
Yeah. So. What do you use? Use your good hand?
No, actually, I use my bad hand.
You do? Use your left hand?
Because, see, I'm used to, like, reading. I'll pick up a newspaper or a magazine.
Right. Beaten off. Right. Right. You want that good hand free and bacteria free.
Plumpkin.
I go bad hand, too. You guys, you go bad hand or good hand?
What do you mean bad hand?
What hand do you wipe with? Is it a good one?
Dominant hand?
Ian's a switchy.
Yeah, I'm
a southpaw.
Yeah, I'm a switch hitter.
Ian's had a Blumpkin before, I think.
What's a Blumpkin?
Blumpkin is when you're going number two while receiving oral.
Oh, really?
Don't. It's a Blumpkin.
Wow.
Blumpkin.
You know you've arrived.
It's like a donkey punch.
That's love. All right, let's talk to Alan, who's 16. Alan?
Yeah, my thing is I think they should improve security at the checkpoints at the airports.
Hold on, let me write this down.
Yeah.
I'm
going
to pass this note along to the authorities. Slow down. You're saying,
security.
First word you said was airport?
I think they should improve security.
Improve, he said.
You gone down to LAX today and seen what's going on?
Well, you see, what happened is I know a person, he sneaked basically a butterfly knife, like the one that comes out and face off.
Right.
8 inches long. When you open it up, the blade is 4 inches.
Right.
All he had to do was put it behind his belt. When the alarm sound, all he said was, "Oh, it's my belt." And they let him pass right through.
Right.
They always make us take our belts off.
Yeah, because we have punk belts.
This is
famous
a great,
Stars and Straps.
Great guy you're swinging with there, Alan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, quite a role model.
Was he testing? What if they would have found him with that knife? They probably would think he was hijacking the plane.
Yeah, I mean, what was his plan?
Let me just try this out.
That knife is against the law here in California. He brought it from Miami, Florida.
Ah, I see. All right.
Hey, we're from Miami, man. What's going on?
It's good times. Good times, yeah. I think they've gotten the word about pumping up the security at the airport, but thanks for the heads up there, Alan. We'll pass that along. Drew, wouldn't it be great to seriously alert somebody, maybe a congressman or something? Hey, I do a talk radio show, and 16-year-old Alan from Anaheim called in, suggested we beef up the security at the airport. You want to see if we can pass it through the Senate, or is it something? Thanks, yeah. Karen? Karen?
Hello? Yeah, this is Karen.
Yeah, what's
Hi.
Up? Hey.
I have a question for you guys, maybe more directed to Dr. Drew. During sex, my left calf muscle, you know, feels like I get a runner's cramp, like a muscle spasm that's extremely painful.
Right.
And I tend to tense up my leg muscles to orgasm, and I'm wondering, and the thing is that my my boyfriend and I tried to work on my not doing that, but if I don't, so that I don't suffer, but if I don't tense them up, then I don't feel anything. It's just a kind of a sensationless.
What position are you in when you do this?
Doesn't matter. Missionary or woman on top is usually what we do.
Woman on top.
Women on top. Women.
Women?
No, woman.
Yeah, she said
well,
woman.
Just me.
Right. Oh, okay. And how do you sort of, though, if you're on top, can you get that calf, you know, push? You know what I'm saying? Like,
you know, what I do is I guess I end up tightening all of my lower leg muscles.
Right. So you're essentially giving birth to an orgasm. I mean, you're pushing it out.
Maybe you should stretch before you know.
Yeah.
Stretch
you know,
out.
Honestly, I've actually done that.
You have stretched.
I've actually done that. We've actually had sex after being in a hot tub for a while.
Right.
That's not stretching,
in
though.
In which case, you're limber.
Right.
And so.
Does that work?
No. I mean, it's the same. It's just usually the same. It's just, it's extremely painful.
You get it every single time?
Yeah, it's just, it's really.
Yeah, it's brutal. No, I've had that. You guys have had
time.
That where you point, if you're on the bottom and your legs are like locked down, you're pointing your toes in front of you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Try Flexol. Time. Do you take any medication?
Icy Hot?
No.
No.
Is there any way to, like, is there anything I should do?
Do you exercise?
I work out, you know, on a, not like seriously work out three or four Working out, running a little bit.
What was that now?
Charlie Brown's teacher jumped in for a second. She exercises some, but she's not a fanatic about it.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's the way she orgasms, by essentially pushing. And I don't know how many women do that. As a guy, I do that. That's my move, that push move. Yeah, I honed it in high school on many a lonely night alone, and now I actually use it around women. It's fantastic.
So you're able to keep pushing them out.
Yeah, now she pushes, and if she doesn't push, she doesn't have the orgasm, but she cramps up on the push.
Mm. Does it hurt when you do it yourself?
Let me get her. That's a good question. Where was she on line
two.
Five or two?
Two?
Karen.
Uh huh.
What about when you're on your own? Does it hurt?
Yeah. Yes. Not always though. It's a lot easier for me to orgasm masturbating.
Well, why don't you incorporate whatever that technique is, so sort of bring that into the
couple. Well, she's not having intercourse then. But, hey, Karen, you can feel it start to cramp, right?
I can, and what we do is I stop because I know I can feel the... And the thing is that it takes me a while to... I have to, literally walk off the spasm, and it turns me off, essentially. It's too much effort.
It's bad. It's like after a batter gets hit by a pitch, he's got to take that little... Or almost like knocked down by a pitch. You've got to step back, walk it around a little, rub a little dirt on it.
Just become a lesbian.
Oh, no. I have one...
I don't know. I'm kind of with the guys on stretching out, though.
That's about all you can do.
Well, what'll stretch your... You know that one that stretches your Achilles out? Will that stretch your calf out? You know that thing where you get a little riser?
Yes, oh, sure.
A little 6-inch riser.
Absolutely.
And put your... Hey, Karen?
Yeah. Can I ask you one little thing?
Yeah.
What happened to Diane that was on your TV show?
Hey, what happened to our TV show?
Yeah, I don't know. She's writing a book, and she's acting.
She's in movies.
She's in movies.
Oh, okay. I thought she was a lot of fun. You guys are great. You do a great job. I just thought I sort of missed her. I wondered where she was on
the
radio
show. She was never on the radio show.
No, I know that. Yeah. I wondered what happened.
And she is doing the TV show, that show, what the heck was
she's
it?
On The Job.
The Job, yeah.
Yeah, she's on The Job, that Dennis Leary TV show, which is pretty successful and coming back. So she's doing fine. Meanwhile, Drew and I, our careers have gone into the toilet.
Sliding
Drew's
fast.
Has zero career over here. I mean, nothing.
Anyone interested, though?
Yeah, Eric?
Hi.
Hi, you're 14. What's up?
I just want to say that I'm a big fan of the show. Listen to you guys all the time before I go to bed.
Well, thanks.
No problem. Actually, my question is for Newfound Glory.
Here they are.
Hello.
I'm you guys' biggest fan.
Thanks.
I know you guys get that a lot, but you guys rock.
Never gets old, though,
does
it?
Thank you, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, actually, I was wondering, not a question, more of a favor. I have a band, and I have, been in it since I was 12, and,
And you're 14 now?
But he's only 14.
Yeah, I'm 14, and we're really young,
Maybe if you haven't broken by 13, it's time to get out and get a day gig. I mean, that's kind of the rule, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, we're really good, and, we play a lot we try to play a lot of shows, and we've won 3 Battle of the Bands out of, 25 bands. But no one seems to want to play with us or pick us up or anything like that. We have to pretty much fund everything for ourselves.
You tell me you don't have a record deal?
No.
That's what we did, though.
That's exactly what we did when we first started. We all started when we were in high school, really young. And when we just started playing the same place, every week, and it got so old and boring that we wanted to, move out.
Yeah,
and start playing different places. But in order to do that, you need to... What we did is we booked our own shows. Might as well not wait for other people to give you shows. Do it yourself, book a show and... make demo tapes and make free shirts at Kinko's and just do whatever you need to do to get your band out, just stuff into people's faces, You can't wait around and just, wait for something to happen. You need to do it yourself,
And we're kind of having a little fun with you, Eric, but if your band is pretty tight and you're winning competitions and you have a little following and you're 14 years old, you're going to be fine.
Yeah, you're set.
Maybe by the outside 10th grade,
draft you assign you,
and you're 14. You're taking a tour. Yeah, it'd be like Silverchair
because we are really young. I mean, probably younger when Newfound started out, but we have to ask our parents to give us rides to the gigs, and
our parents paid for our first recording.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we had to ask our parents for money to record our first record. and we had to borrow money from them to rent our first van to go on tour.
Yeah, it was actually a Ryder truck. Us and another band in the back of a box truck.
Jordan had to take money out of the cookie jar.
And how old were you when you hit the road?
17.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I mean, we toured like when we were in high school, like on winter break, spring break, in the summertime. And then when we finally got out of high school, we decided to do it full time.
Did everyone in high school know about you and know the band?
Everyone in high school didn't like our band. You know, we were the punk rock band that no one really cared about. You know, and now it's like we go to our hometown. Everyone knows
everyone
who we
was
are.
Listening to Wedge.
Yeah, because there's like the cool band. With the preppy kids, the preppy right. kid band. That's the band that everybody go see. That's the band we'd be playing all the cool parties, and we'd be playing like at Club Q and like.
When I was
like,
in high school, I was in a band called Fart with a PH.
He was.
Oh, that's right. I think we talked about that.
Yeah, I think we did too.
I thought it was a genius
Greasy Feces.
Name. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what year are we talking about? I mean, when you guys hit the road, or when you were in high school?
I guess junior in high school.
I mean, what year on the calendar?
97.
Oh, all right. I was trying to think what mute. It's not like they were all into Flock of Seagulls.
No.
Talking about 18 months ago, Jerusalem.
Let's hear a Newfound Glory song.
How about really?
Yeah.
All right.
It's actually one of the first songs we've ever written. So
Sucker is?
Oh, we're playing Sucker?
Yeah.
They're playing a different song. You tricked me.
This is the second song they ever wrote.
No. Well, I thought you guys were playing Hit or Miss. That was like our first single or whatever.
This is a very significant 77th song they ever wrote.
Yeah.
And it's called Sucker.
The new CD, Newfound Glory.
That's a fake audience.
That's a good song.
That's fake.
But they would be clapping if they were here. That was very enjoyable. I really like that song.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's nice.
Tell me about your first kiss, man.
Yeah. I don't remember. Oh, yeah. Esty Chiladenko was my first kiss. Her name was Esther Chiladenko, 27. How dare you.
Sorry.
It was right before my 28th birthday. No, she changed her name to Esty Chandler later. She got hip. I think she was trying to avoid the stigma of making out with me in the 7th grade, so she actually changed her name. There was a whole relocation program for girls that made out with me. Government would move them to Tucson. They'd take on new names, new jobs, new identities.
Tucson.
Yeah. Now, that's what it sounded like in high school when I was on my own. All right, we're going to take a little...
You mean by yourself?
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. We'll take a little break. Newfound Glory's here, and we'll be back with your questions and comments after this.
Hello. This is your radio. Radio. Loveline will be right.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. Chad, Jordan, and Steve are all here from Newfound Glory.
Nah.
We got Ian's ass out of here.
And, that guy, man.
Chad,
he was our anchor, though.
He was eyeballing me all night, dude. And it's like, I didn't want to say anything, but I was going to take a swing at the camera. I said one more break, and he probably picked up on my vibe, and he went out to the bus, man.
He did say something to me on the way out.
Yeah. I'm not going to apologize, man. That's the way I felt. Debbie?
Hello, how are you?
Hey, you're 18. What's up?
Not much. I know everyone's been thanking you guys, but I'm going to do it again. Thank you for having this whole, like, open forum-y, like, thing. It's nice having, like, a theme to go to talk about the whole tragedy that's going on.
Well, thanks. We appreciate that, and that's, we felt that it was something that was important to do during this time
of
tragedy.
And if we need to keep doing it, we'll just keep talking about it.
Right.
Because I know, like, a lot of, like, the teachers, you know, like, I'm going to college, of course, right now, and, like, the teachers talk at you, but you don't really talk about it, and so this is good.
Well, this is the place to come bring your feelings. That's more about trying to intellectually grapple with it.
And it's an easier gig for me. I was getting mad at you thinking about how easy it was just to sit around and talk and not crack jokes. It's like just talking. You have to sit around and call everyone a-holes and make fart jokes. And I'm on my 18th whack-off joke by, like, 10:45 usually. You know, this is easy.
It's tough work.
Yeah. All right, so what's up there, Debbie?
Okay, and I also had a comment for Newfound Glory.
Hello.
I was going to go to all of the three California shows, and I think it's really great that you guys were able to postpone it, because I know, like, my whole family's been kind of out of whack lately with all the whole tragedy in New York.
Just out of respect for everything that's going on.
Yeah, and I know some people were... I was reading on one of the club boards online on Yahoo or something, and, like, people were upset about it, and I just want to tell you that it is so great. Like, I don't know. I don't think... I know I wouldn't have gone on, like, Wednesday.
Yeah, well, the shows are going to be rescheduled for next week.
Right, we've already got all the new dates.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and, like, I just think that is so cool because, like, it's helping us, you know?
Yeah, totally.
And, like, I don't know. Is this a newfound glorious thing to do, I think? And I
Thank you. We actually were supposed to be home by, you know, by, what, Saturday?
We were supposed to be home on the 16th.
We were supposed to have, like, 5 or 6 days off. We haven't had any days off in the past, like, 6 months. Oh, and we were looking forward to having the time off. But, you know, in spite of what happened, it's, you know, we're definitely, you know, doing the right thing for everybody.
I honestly feel, I mean, you know, as Dr. Drew says, we have to, you know, live on and do what we have to do and just, you know...
Keep your head straight.
Yeah, keep your head straight. But it just feels weird even talking about shows. It feels weird.
Exactly.
It's honestly weird for us to be like, yeah, we're sad we had to cancel a show. Because honestly, shows on at this point in time don't really matter.
Yeah, it's not that big of a deal. I know.
And but,
well, there's a balance to strike between being disrupted and proper mourning and coping.
Right. Yeah. It's offensive to start to ignore what's going on.
Yeah.
Right.
On the other hand, to go on is important so they don't conquer us with fear, and also people need a release. They need people to look to at a time to help them with their stress.
Right. So I think there's a mourning period, and then that period hopefully comes to an end. You never forget, but you can get on with your life and the duties of life. Rebecca?
Hello.
You're 39. What's up?
I sure am. Well, I wrote a sonnet in honor of Dr. Drew on his birthday, and I tried to call you guys up, but I couldn't get on Drew's birthday, and events since then have rather, you know, seemed not like poetry night.
Sure. Now, which birthday? Is 23rd or the one he celebrated most recently? Okay, so it hasn't been that long.
I hadn't heard of him on his 23rd birthday, although he probably was doing this show back then.
It's true.
Okay, so here goes. Blue Fire or Drew the Brainiac?
Wait a minute. What's the title again?
Blue Fire or Drew the Brainiac?
Blue Fire.
Yep.
Okay.
I, in order to give Drew his due, indite this poem in praise of Dr. Pinsky, a brainiac of some paternal hue, the late-night talk show version of Kandinsky. As Russian dye grades still from blue to blue, with blue yet deeper showing through in veins, so Drew provided food for thought to chew, affords the perfect vehicle for brains. Corolla's all Coranta Moore Trifew, these Jimmy Kimmels and these Howie Mandels compared with Drew.
Oh, hold on. It's Mandel. It's a Howie Mandel. Mandel.
Well, it doesn't rhyme that way.
Well, you can rhyme smell.
Well, that's not the way I wrote it, and I'm not changing now. Compared with Drew.
There's more stuff that rhymes with Mandel than Mandel.
I don't like you.
Yeah, I'm just saying that.
That's not my rhyme.
I understand that, but for future poetry.
Okay, well, just bear with me, would you?
Okay, and I'll give you some rhymes for Carrot Top after the show.
Please do. My hair is brown, by the way.
Carrot Top is a man. What's up?
All right, go ahead.
Compared with Drew, who keeps his plan in view, show two Greek fire as futzing Roman candles. So Drew, outdo, fade not, but further flare. 'Tis fine to find fire furthered over air.
Yeah.
The end.
Hold on. This is why I don't go to the Renaissance Festival every year, because you run into people like Rebecca.
You mean there's a reason?
Yes. You go to those Renaissance fairs, don't you?
No.
Please.
No.
All right.
You smell like patchouli, don't you?
I know most of the lyrics to the English and Scottish border tunes, though.
I'll tell you, it was mostly confusing, but there were some shades of brilliance in there, some flares of brilliance, wouldn't you say?
Yes, very, very puckish.
Thank you.
Okay, one last thing, Adam. I'm going to give you cause for a rant.
All right.
You know that PSA, which is your total nemesis, went about how our bodies are not built to withstand airplane turbulence?
Yes, I know.
It was just on, where I'm listening to this show, it seemed as though, in light of recent events, someone would have had a brainwave and taken that off.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Yes.
It is.
Now it's truly bad taste.
There's a public service announcement that I hear through the national feed in my headphones during the commercials about air turbulence and how dangerous it is. And I always do a short rant about it because it's not nearly as dangerous as many other facets of society or many other things that exist. But it seems almost in poor taste to play that thing now, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Let's... And by the way... Oh, man, we don't have enough time.
What?
I was hearing these news reports where they found the cockpit of the plane that went into...
The cockpit recorder.
No, they found the cockpit. cockpit. Did you guys hear about this?
No.
I was hearing news reports that they found the cockpit of the plane that went in, maybe the first or second plane that went into the World Trade Center, and that they found guys in there, and the one guy wasn't wearing a pilot's uniform, so it could be assumed that he wasn't.
What?
And I was like, yeah, that was my thing. It's like, I thought that thing would have been
incinerated.
I thought you could have fit that entire plane into a shoebox at this point. That they found it, and that they found a guy in it. And the only thing I could think of is that it
blew through
the other side and landed on someone's roof or something. But anyway, now, I mean, it was like tragic before, and now as these stories start coming in, it's becoming surreal.
Mm.
You know what I mean? In a morbid way. All right, we're going to take a break. Newfound Glory's here, and we'll be back. It's Loveline. All right, well, there it is. A very interesting week, to say the least. I want to thank Newfound Glory for coming in here and tell you all that the best way to cope with any tragedy is a Newfound Glory CD.
It's interesting.
It is. It's how we can heal ourselves. Newfound Glory is the name of the CD. I want to thank, Damien for doing a great job on lead phone and coffee all week long, and Lauren for doing a great job, and Tara, don't call me Tara, goddammit, for doing a great job all week long. Producer Ann for putting her feminine stink on the show. And, of course, the wizard behind the board, Engineer Anderson.
He's the one who sucks.
For making us sound great all week long. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
As Russian dye grades spill from blue to blue, with blue yet deeper showing through in veins, so Drew provided food for thought to chew, affords the perfect vehicle for brain.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.